The May primary election in Oregon is still 5 weeks away, but there's already been plenty said about some of the items on the ballot, especially in Jackson County, where voters will decide the fate of a measure that would ban the growing of genetically engineered crops. Measure 15-119 is the measure. Much has been said about the interest of out-of-county and out-of-state groups in the measure. Money for the no on 15-119 side is pouring in from farm bureaus in other states. But there's also money and interest coming from out-of-state for the yes side as well. The Biosafety Alliance is entering the fray with activities this week in Jackson County. Karen Swift is with the Biosafety Alliance and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Karen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. And can you tell us just a bit about the Biosafety Alliance, how long it's been around, and what it generally focuses on?
Yeah, so we started the Biosafety Alliance in early 2011, just after the USDA deregulation of sugar beets, a Syngenta variety of corn for ethanol, and alfalfa. Of course, this was a very controversial time, and it was about the same time that right as we started it, we connected with the woman who was starting the labeling initiative in California. There were just a lot of momentum going at that time. It was kind of one of those moments where people who had been a little bit on the edges of the food movement, not really knowing how to address the issue of GMOs, realized that, hey, we need to jump back into this because seeds are life. You know, seeds are the basis of agriculture, and we really need to address this issue of genetic engineering and contamination and build cross-sector alliances. And so Biosafety Alliance is really focused on building multi-level, inter-ethnic, and cross-sector alliances to address this issue.
There are some shades of opinion, I know, and people who are not particularly crazy about the idea of genetically modified crops being out there already. In the opinion of the Biosafety Alliance, is there any good genetic engineering?
No, because all genetic engineering essentially is just a means of patenting life, patenting seeds. There's 10 seed companies that control 67% of the world's proprietary seed market. GMOs are kind of a means of putting patents on seeds. I mean, some people argue that there are a few examples of crops that maybe developed resistance to blight or something like that, or resistant to a particular, of course they're trying to be resistant to pests, but I mean, the reality is if we have a diverse seed supply, that, you know, farmers have been connected and kind of growing seeds, getting the seeds to adapt to local climates for thousands and thousands of years. And a lot of these seeds are now disappearing as a result of genetic engineering and patents on seeds and the consolidation of the seed supply. So, you know, now you see these big chemical corporations purporting to genetically alter seeds to be resistant to drought or flooding or whatever that is. The reality is a lot of those seeds already existed, and now some of those are really hard to find because they've been pushed out as a result of, you know, a few commodity crops being pushed onto farmers.
It sounds like this is less a concern about any sort of strange things happening scientifically or getting unintended consequences of genetic engineering than it is about just not having a wide range of seeds and things to grow available.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really one of the main issues. That's also why we're putting this event together in Jackson County with perspectives of Adelita San Vicente, who's been really big in the kind of non-GMO movement in Mexico, just to share perspective, showing that this is not just, you know, these chemical corporations have been all over the world eroding local seed supplies, and farmers all over the world have been standing up, pushing back, you know, because trying to prevent genetic engineering is actually about protecting seed diversity and the right of farmers to grow and save their seeds. And if farmers are inhibited from growing seeds and cannot exchange and free exchange of seeds, it's detrimental to our food security. It's against farmers' rights. This has been happening all over the world. It's not just in a few areas.
So let's talk about that free exchange of seeds and what you think would impede that down the road, or has the impeding happened already?
So when a seed is patented and then that cross-pollinates with other seeds, as we've seen, Monsanto has been suing farmers for patent infringements. Just from pollen blowing into their fields. You know, it should be the opposite, that farmers who are growing seeds, the wind blows, their seeds are contaminated and suddenly they're infringing on a patent. I mean, that whole idea is really absurd. And it's, you know, of course, intended so that farmers cannot truly exchange seeds. I mean, I've heard of many farmers in the Midwest, where genetic engineering is incredibly prevalent everywhere, who clean seeds. And, of course, the biotech industry, people who go out and kind of check fields are keeping very close watch on those people who are trying to save seeds because, you know, they're looking for an in to say that they are infringing on their patents so they can shut down the seed cleaners because, I mean, it's really farmers saving seed is not what they want to see. But, I mean, seeds are the common. Seeds are something that farmers have been planting, again, for thousands of years. The fact that, you know, they've been part of increasing biodiversity, adopting local varieties. Farmers have always engaged in seed exchanging. And in Jackson County, I was just down there a few weeks ago interviewing farmers and hearing from a number of them who did not want to grow beets or chard because they didn't know if there were sugar beets, genetic engineered sugar beets growing nearby that could contaminate their seeds. So that's limiting the seed diversity in the valley itself already.
We're talking to Karen Swift from the Biosafety Alliance about Jackson County's GMO measure and about GMOs a little more generally. Jackson County's measure 15-119 on the May ballot would ban the growing of genetically engineered crops in Jackson County. You can join us on the exchange at 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. What are the activities you have planned in Jackson County this week then?
There are a number of events going on with Adelica San Vicente, who's visiting from Mexico. She's an incredible activist who's been focused on protecting corn in Mexico, which, of course, is the origin of corn. So she's just going to share her perspective of some of the struggles they've encountered there and some of the organizing that's been going on there. And then Ignacio Chapela as well, who is well-known for a 2001 article that talked about the flow of transgenic corn into wild corn populations at the time. He was, of course, attempted to, a lot of people tried to silence him. He almost lost his job. He teaches at UC Berkeley. And so that's been a big issue. So he's there to share his perspective as well of just even trying to show that transgenic corn was contaminating corn. Was controversial, you know, it was difficult to get that information out there. And they're going to be, from today through the 18th, going to different places. Today, they'll be at Standing Stone Brewery from 4 to 7 p.m. And then tomorrow, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Medford Library. And Wednesday, the 16th, at the Eagle Point Grange Hall from 7:30 to 9. And Thursday the 17th at Central Point Library from 7 to 9. And Friday, there's going to be a potluck and presentation at the Bellevue Grange from 6 to 9. And, of course, they're linking with some of the other local farmers in the area who can share the local perspective while they share some of their perspectives from other contexts. Just, again, linking that the issue of chemical corporations trying to limit what farmers can grow is an issue of global concern, and their perspectives kind of align with a lot of the issues that farmers have been experiencing here.
Karen Swift, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is with the Biosafety Alliance. You just heard the list of activities that the Biosafety Alliance will be part of this week in Jackson County. Here's a call from Phyllis in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to just remind everybody that Josephine County has a similar measure coming up for us on the May ballot also, number 1758. And it's a yes vote also to restrict GM crops from being grown, propagated, raised, or growing any GE plants in Josephine County.
Is that an advisory measure? I mean, is it actually a binding vote, or is it more just an opinion sort of?
No, it's a real it's an initiative.
Okay, and we'll make sure.
And I can go down, if I have a moment, I can go down a little list for what the measure would accomplish.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, it maintains and protects seed sovereignty and local control, which is what your guest has been talking about, prohibits propagation, raising, or growing, enables Josephine County to enforce and recover costs of enforcement, supports JOCO farmers' rights to avoid genetic contamination, reserves the right for JOCO to regulate this issue. Exceptions are for medical and scientific research in closed labs, and designates a code enforcement officer, and plan for notification, a 12-month phase-out, and remedies for all citizens harmed.
All right. Phyllis, thanks for the reminder on that. That's measure 17-58 in Josephine County, 15-119 in Jackson County. It does seem like most of the attention has gone to the Jackson County measure. Can you account for that, Karen Swift?
I think the Jackson County measure, there's just been organizers getting this going over the past 2 years, and I think it just has to do with the organizing efforts. I know Josephine County came in a little bit later, and of course, as a result of the early organizing, I think people have definitely focused on Jackson County. I mean, not to say that one is more important than the other. I mean, the Applegate Valley borders up between the two counties. I mean, and that the valley itself, it'd be amazing if that whole valley could be included in this measure, because the Applegate Valley is one of those last, you know, incredibly pure areas where the land has not been contaminated by DDT. The soil is rich. It's an amazing place to grow. And I know most farmers would definitely hope that their seeds wouldn't be contaminated or their soil contaminated with the glyphosate and other herbicides, pesticides, and insecticides used.
Phyllis mentioned the Josephine County addition of a code enforcement person in the Josephine County measure. Much has been made already in Jackson County. The report from the county administrator to the commissioners saying that it would cost at least $219,000 to implement Jackson County's measure. So it's being advertised already by the no people as this is just going to cost Jackson County too much. What's the response from people like yourself who are in favor of the GMO bans in these two counties?
Well, there's nothing proving those numbers. I mean, those numbers were kind of pulled out of thin air, and I know that there's been a lot of retraction of statements made about it costing that much. And I know this is something that the opposition always does, is throws in numbers. I mean, for example, with the labeling campaigns, they throw in random numbers saying it'll cost you $600 a year to, you know, have a label on the food. Companies change the label all the time. That's just one example context that I'm more familiar with. As for enforcement, I know that the campaign manager and others involved with our Family Farms Coalition and the measure can speak more closely to that, but the cost is just kind of a fear tactic to say it's going to cost that much. There's no way it's going to cost that much. What's really going to cost is the contamination of seeds on small farmers, inhibiting the right of the small farmers in Jackson County to grow, and you know, it'll have a detrimental effect on local business from these local family farmers.
All right. I want to thank Karen Swift for joining us, part of the Biosafety Alliance, which will have events through the course of this week in Jackson County to work in favor of ballot measure 15-119, which is Jackson County's GMO ban. Josephine County, as you heard, another one as well, 17-58. Yes, we will invite the opposition to join us once again on the Jefferson Exchange. No reply as of yet. Karen Swift, thank you for joining us today on the Exchange.
Thank you.